Good afternoon, IBC. My name, for those who may not know me, is James Wood. I am the Director of Family Ministries, and I have the privilege of bringing our message here today. But before I get started, why don't we even give a clap for our kids one more time for the awesome job of the day. So as we saw our kids act out a moment here ago, this nativity story is a story of God putting his son, Jesus Christ, into our midst. For those at the time, this was not exactly how they expected or maybe hoped to see the coming Messiah. You know, many expected a powerful, warrior-like king to come them to free them from the oppression of the ruling parties. Yet, what they got, and what we have received, was exactly what God knew we needed. A humble servant who came to reach us, the poor and needy, and to liberate us from our sin and darkness. Through Jesus, God was now able to be reached, having decided to live and dwell among us. This was God's strategy, his thought, his plan from the very beginning. He drew near to us so that we can draw near to him. As Pastor James read, he saw us, a people walking in darkness, and gave us a great light in the form of his son, Jesus Christ. This takes us now to our scripture this morning, which can be found in Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. If you have a Bible with you, you may open to that, or you can follow along with us on the screen here. Let me read it here for us. It says, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is a gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant." Amen. All right, let me walk us through this here verse by verse. Let's look at verse 21 here again. "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior." Now, Paul, the Greek word that he uses here for alienated literally translates to transferred to another owner. What Paul is talking about here, what he is describing, is not only a separation from God, but being under ownership of the devil and our sinful selves. This alienation, this broken relationship, is our natural born condition. We were born into this act of rebellion against God, and our thoughts and actions are the condemning evidence against us. We all were lost from the very start. This alienation is also the natural state of God's justice. And what I mean by that is that we, his creation, are imperfect beings, and we cannot be in the presence of a perfect and holy God. No, we may think of this as harsh, honestly, and we may say that God is cold, he is distant and mean, because we can't come to him in this state. But I tell you, really, this is merely a reality of law. As enemies of God, it is impossible for us, in our state, to stand in the radiance of the Lord's presence, just as it would be to stand in the middle of a wildfire. You know, just as a fire doesn't choose to consume what's in its path, so God's presence consumes all evil, no matter its source. Now, for those of you who may be non-believers, this is the state that we need to accept. These are the conditions that we need to accept. We, as humanity, we cannot save ourselves. And nothing we do makes us right before God. Because our thoughts and actions are not what makes us sinful. We already are sinful in and of ourselves. Now, for those of you who believe in Jesus, this may be very familiar already. You may be saying, James, I understand this already. I've accepted this long ago. But let me challenge you with something today. If you look at your life honestly, right here, right now, in this moment, can you say that your life is acting as a living testimony to that truth? That apart from Jesus, you can do nothing? Or are you, like many others right now, still trying to live a life of proven merit before God, still striving to prove yourself before Him, and seeking to earn your own salvation through good deeds and service? I tell you, if that's you here today, and I've felt this way as well, that will crush you if you let it continue. You know, while this may seem really depressing to hear, this isn't the end of the story, thanks be to God. Amen? God was not satisfied to leave us in the state. And Paul tells us about this in verse 22. Let's look at that now. Verse 22 reads again, "But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation." Amen. To be reconciled to God means our relationship is made right with him. This reconciliation does not come free of charge, however. God's justice demands that a price must be paid for sin. Yet as God is a God of justice, he is also a God of mercy, of love. And in his mercy, he sent Jesus Christ as a payment for all our sins. Here's some attributes of this reconciliation. The first one being, this reconciliation is absolute. And I tell you, every sin that we have done, every hurt that we have committed, is covered by the price that Jesus paid in his death. As there is absolutely nothing we can do to earn this reconciliation with God, this repair of a relationship, Jesus' death absolutely wipes out the price for our sins. This reconciliation is also transformative. Paul tells us this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." So through being reconciled, we are transformed completely. We're not merely made better or perfected. We are given a new life, a new self in Jesus. One that is capable of living for him now. Lastly, this reconciliation is freeing. Our sins now hold no power over us. Let me say that again. In Jesus Christ, our sins now hold no power over us. This is what it means now to be without blemish and free from accusation. Because Jesus paid for us and our sins, God no longer sees our former sinful selves. He sees now Jesus in us. We therefore come into a right standing, or as it said, righteousness with God because of Jesus Christ. We're not trying to strive for our own sense of right standing now. It is freely given in Jesus Christ to us. Paul beautifully summarizes this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And I love this verse here. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen? Let's look at our last verse there. Verse 23, this is the condition now that we hold on to. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Here, Paul is urging us to persevere now in the faith by continually coming to Jesus, who holds out his hand for us to draw near. This is the key to a fruitful life of faith, since when we continuously draw near to Jesus, we walk further away from how we formerly were, and we become more and more like Christ himself. This process of change reflects a transformation that we underwent when we first believed in Jesus Christ. We are continually being made new, putting off the acts of our old selves and putting on the righteousness of Christ. The author of Hebrews compares this to running a race. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Yeah. I love that title that Hebrews gives there to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, for me, what it speaks of is that the work that God starts in us through Jesus Christ, he will see it to the end, to its completion. Amen? And he will be faithful to that. You know, I liken this work, this race that we're running, and this partnership that with God that we have as a work of a painter. You know, we now, as the blank canvas that we are in Jesus Christ, we are looked upon by the Lord. And and through that, you know, he starts to paint this picture, this vision of us that he has from the very start. It's not complete yet, but he sees it, Jesus Christ and God, in its perfection. And with each stroke laid on with love, we are slowly but surely transformed into this beautiful vision more and more, until we, his canvas, are fully covered in his work. At this point, we become indistinguishable from our Creator, and we are completely now his handiwork. Amen? So my question to you guys today is, where are you in relation to Jesus? Have you drawn near to him? Is he real to you? Or is he merely a story that we just revisit every year? For those of you who don't believe in Jesus, do you hear him perhaps knocking on the door of your heart today? Can you feel his urge and feel his beckoning to you to let him in, to be with you, to transform you? Or are you maybe saying, well, I have everything I need. I have everything I want in life. Why do I need this Jesus in my life? But let me put it to you this way. What if everything in your life were to be stripped away? What if your family, your friends, your career, your achievements, accomplishments, the things that define you, what if these were stripped away? And I tell you, this can happen. And maybe for some of you, this is where you are right now, in need of hope. What if all this were gone? What would be the foundation that you'd be left standing on? I want to tell you today, if that's where you are as a non-believer, there is hope in Jesus. Because he is waiting for you. He is drawing near to you now. This is your opportunity. So I pray and I plead that you would reach out to him. And with an open heart that says, Lord, I need you in my life. May you reach out to him. For those of you who are wavering in your faith, and I suspect that may be many of you, when was the last time that you drew near to Jesus, your first and greatest love? Are you so under perhaps the burden of your life, under the burden of your stress, your anxiety, your busyness, your anger, your pride, or your unforgiveness, that you have forgotten what Jesus said to us from the very beginning? That he said to us, come you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in spirit, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I tell you, bring it to him, Jesus Christ, today. Start afresh and start light. Put his burden on you, and you will see that life and everything it carries will be easier because of it. My last exhortation is for those of you who are persevering in faith. And to that I say, stand firm. As Scripture says, be rooted in the faith as you were taught, overflowing with thankfulness, so that in Christ's love, the love that surpasses all knowledge, this will fill you to the fullest measure. I say to you, those standing firmly, be so near now to Jesus that the love of him will be fully evident to those around us. Amen? All right. And one last reminder. This is for all of us here. I want to remind us of why we celebrate this Christmas season. Why we go through the effort of having this kind of thing where we have a beautiful nativity play. Of why we decorate this beautiful church. And every week we mark the occasion of something coming nearer. We do this because we have hope in Jesus Christ. Amen? And I tell you, this hope is real, and this hope is everlasting, because it did not end when Jesus died. It is continuing, it is ongoing, and it is real because God the Father raised Jesus Christ from the dead, so that he can claim victory over life and death and our sins now. Amen? And so as a final word of encouragement and exhortation, I would like to simply read from Scripture, and I would like for us to all stand as I read this for us here. I'm going to read for us from Philippians 2. This is our hope that we have. It says this, IBC Hamburg, let us remember Jesus Christ, he who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for us here, IBC. Dear Heavenly Father, we come and we bow down before the throne of mercy and grace. We give you praise and adoration, and we humbly come before you and say that we need you, Lord Jesus, in our lives. That you repair the broken relationship that we have with the Father, and you bring us forth so that we can be in right standing with him. Lord Jesus, I ask that you would touch the hearts of everyone here, for wherever they are right now, God, that you would reach to them, and that they would take your hand, Lord, and be lifted up, that you would lift their heads and encourage them and be all around them in this moment, God. We lift this to you. We thank you, Lord, for all you have given, for Jesus Christ is enough, and everything thereafter, Lord, is a blessing from you. Lord, may we humbly follow you to the ends of the earth and to the end of the ages. And we are comforted knowing that you will be with us at every moment until then. In your Son's heavenly name, we pray today. Amen.